The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
And save from the fire through your mighty hand. Great, great words of the song. We've been talking about generations. The need is great. The time is now. For a couple of weeks, we focused on the church and the family of God. We said you need to be a brick in the building, you need to be a member of the body, you need to be a sheep in the flock, you need to be a member of the family. You can be in the building, but not a part of the building, not connected to the building. You and I are examples. We're in the building, but when we leave here, the building's not going to collapse. But if you take all those bricks out up here, the roof will fall in. They're connected. We need to be connected. We need to be like sheep in the flock because we're protected. We need to be members of the family so that we're loved and comforted and encouraged. I want to take a right turn, and I want to move out of the church and out of the umbrella of the campus into the community. As we said last week, 88% of the people in the Las Vegas Valley have no religious affiliation whatsoever. Now, I'm not big into religion because I don't think that's what the Bible teaches. But if they don't have a religious affiliation, it means they certainly don't have a relationship with God the Father. They don't know that Jesus died in their place. 88%, which means almost 9 out of 10 people that you come across this next week have no hope in this world and no home in eternity. The building's going to be beautiful. It's going to come online. But that doesn't impress God, and the programs don't impress God. What impresses God is when you and I do what the Bible says to do. Everybody in this room has heard the term, what are you banking on? What are you banking on? That means, what are you trusting to see you through? What are you depending upon that will not fail you? In your life, you know, what are you investing in that will assure you that you can carry on? And people invest in all kinds of things. Some people invest in their kids. We invest in our kids because we didn't get life the way we wanted to, so we invest with our children and hope that everything goes well with them and we can live vicariously through their enjoyment. Or maybe we invest in success. We invest in achievements. We spend all of our time doing and being so that we just climb the ladder. And we're banking on that. We're banking that that's going to see us through. Some people bank on life itself. Their philosophy is you only go around once, grab all the gusto you can get. As for you, foot on you. It's all about me. I'm going to be comfortable. I'm going to build my nest. I'm going to live my life, and I'm going to enjoy it. We can invest in all kinds of things. The next promotion. If I just get this promotion, it's going to come through. But there are two problems when you bank on those things. Problem number one is they're temporary. Everything you see is temporary. Archaeologists make their living digging up what people thought would stand forever. Can you imagine? 2,000 years from now, if the world still exists, they'll be digging up the bones of this building. Everything you see is temporary. You are temporary. I don't want to ruin your day, but you're just not going to live forever. We're temporary. So when I invest my hopes and my dreams and I count on, I bank on this that's temporary, that's foolishness. And the second thing we need to understand is not only is nothing on this earth going to last, you can lose these temporary things very, very quickly. I've told you my wife is retired. She's no longer supporting me in the manner to which I have become accustomed. We were talking the other day about our house and do we downsize? And she said, well, what's that mean? You know, what are we going to do? And I just looked at her. I said, hun, you need to understand neither one of us are going to live long enough to sell this house for what we paid for it. Because I have the unique ability to buy high and sell low. And we're never going to get that money back. Some of you did the same thing. Our houses were accelerating. Man, we thought this was the greatest thing in the world. Buy a bigger house. More money will come in. And then all of a sudden, the $500,000 house was worth $180,000. You can lose it. If you invested in dot-com stocks, you know what I'm talking about. So Jesus says, rather than bank on things that are uncertain, rather than bank on things that are temporary, rather than bank on things that you can lose in a heartbeat, he said, I want you to invest your treasure in heaven. I want you to invest in light of eternity. Store up your treasure in heaven because he is not going bankrupt. The Bible says, stop storing up treasure for yourself on earth where moths and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. Instead, store up treasure for yourself in heaven. Now, it doesn't say don't store up treasure for yourself. This is not an anti-savings verse or anything like that. It says don't store up treasure for yourself where? On earth. But store it up in heaven. Why not store up money on earth, our treasure on earth? Because moths, you ever reached into a drawer? I can remember my grandmother reaching in a drawer and pulling out a sweater and had a big old hole in it. She says, well, the moths got to it. They destroyed it. She couldn't wear it. There are some things that just, they're gone. And then he says, thieves break in and steal. And then he says, there is rust. Something is rusted when it sits around and is rusted away and depreciated by time. So Jesus says, instead of investing in what can be destroyed, what can be depreciated, and what can be depleted, I want you to invest in heaven. The question is, how do I invest in heaven? I can't take my treasure to heaven by myself. You've heard the phrase, you can't take it with you. None of us have ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You don't get to take it. So what? You know, how do I invest in heaven? Well, you send it on ahead. You send it on ahead. That's why somebody coined that phrase, do your giving while you're living so you're a knowing where it's going. Where is it going? It's going to heaven. How do I do that? I invest in people. Remember, when Jesus said there are two great rules, laws, principles, love God, love others. And when I love others and invest myself in others, they take my treasure to heaven. That's how I store up treasure in heaven, by investing in other people. So this morning, there are three things very quickly I want to show you in the Word of God about how we invest in others, how we be a blessing to others and store up treasure in heaven. Jesus told a key truth in Luke 14. When you put on a dinner, don't invite your friends and your relatives and your rich neighbors, for they will repay you by inviting you back. So you take me to dinner, I take you to dinner. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the godly, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Now, he's not saying, don't take anybody to dinner. So just get off of that, all right? You want to take me to dinner? I'll take you to dinner. You take me to Morton's, I'll take you to Taco Bell. Pay you back a little bit less. What he's saying is, there's no reward in that. We're just having good fellowship. You ought to do that. But he says, when you take somebody that cannot pay you back, God keeps score. God watches over you. When you throw a party for the people on the top of your list, you can go to their party. But you throw a party for those that he lists, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, he keeps score and he blesses you. Folks, in this book, the Bible, the vast majority of you that are sitting here this morning say, well, I believe the Bible. Okay? I want to tell you that over 1,000 times, not 10 times, 100 times, 500 times, over 1,000 times, God mentions five groups of people that we need to invest in order to build our treasure in heaven. And I have to confess to you, I know these people and I know of them, and I would say I know some people like these. But in the same breath, I have to admit that daily they are not on my radar. I'm not looking for them. I may not even notice them when I see them. Let me show you these five specific groups that generally, and they're not just not on my radar, most of us don't think about them. And yet these are the people God says, you invest in these, you're building treasure in heaven. Who are they? Number one, the poor. Share your food with the hungry and open your homes to the homeless poor. Give clothes to those who have nothing to wear. Now, our church does wonderfully well at this. Under our serving our kids and helping our downtown campus with the clothes and the shoes. But I'm talking about you and me personally, right here. In the past 7 days, from last Sunday to Saturday, how often were they on your radar? The second group, the lonely. You know, if you're a man joining with me today as men, I would say this group we probably don't even think about. The Bible says what God considers to be pure and genuine religion is this, to take care of orphans and widows in their suffering. Gentlemen, do you think about the orphans and widows this week? Widows, I know some widows in our church. Orphans, I'm not sure that I know an orphan. Not on my radar. Third group, the imprisoned. Hebrews 13, remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as though you yourself were suffering. I had lunch this week with one of the attorneys in our church, and he didn't have a tie on. It was Thursday. Friday, he doesn't usually have a tie on. Thursday, he didn't have a tie on. I said, what in the world? He said, well, I've already been to court, and I've already gone to jail. And we got to talking about jail, and we talked about it. He said, you have to go there. I said, yeah, I go. I have to go to the jails. And he and I both agreed we don't like the smell in the jail. But that's the first time all week, and even when we were talking about it, I didn't think of it in light of this. I don't think about those folks down there. And then he says the foreigners, that means people who speak a different language because they're from a different country. God tells you to love these people. Deuteronomy 10, you must show love to foreigners. In other words, God said, watch out how you treat people from a different culture with different customs and language. And then the ill afflicted, that means somebody who's in major pain. In the Bible, it probably meant they had leprosy because it couldn't be cured. Those five, the poor, the lonely, the imprisoned, the foreigners, and the ill. The question is, why aren't they on my radar? Because I'm not aware. The old farmers used to put blinders on their horses. They put blinders on their horses because they wanted them to plow a straight line. And if they put blinders on their horses, then it took away all of the distraction from the eyes of the horses. Blinders are good for horses, not so good for humans. But I know in my life I have blinders on, and I don't look for these kind of people. I don't see them. I live my life with blinders on, and you do too. And we're not bad people, we're just busy people. We have lives that are full. We have very much to do. And so we allow ourselves to wear these blinders going through life. Let me show you what I mean just practically. I'm guessing that most of you are like me when you pull up to an intersection, somebody's holding a sign that says veteran or will work for food or hungry, family needs to eat. You are like me. You have trained yourself not to look those people in the eye. Why? Because if you look them in the eye, they become human. And then we might have to do something. We pull up to the fast food. And pulling up to the fast food, we give our order in that little box, and a voice comes back, and it you can tell they're learning English. They don't speak English very well. And so what do? Well, we make fun of them. Or we say, what? Or we think in our minds, here's what we think. Won't you learn American? And that's really what we mean. Not English, because we don't speak good English. Why don't you speak American? You're in America. Prisoners. Well, if they're in prison, they did the crime, they got to do the time. Let me tell you what I discovered and what I know in my own heart is true. God doesn't call me to cast judgment upon any of those people. It's not my job. My job is to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading if He wants me to invest in their lives. We're so busy judging. I'm so busy judging. I won't judge you. I'll just judge me, all right? And if my burden is yours, you understand. We get so busy that we're not aware. To care, you must become aware. So my first challenge, are you willing to start caring about people that you have not cared about ever in your life? Are you willing to say, I want to take the blinders off? Number one. Number two, to invest means that I act on my attitude. It's not just enough to care and say, oh, that's sad, I wish that wasn't the case. You got to do something about it. Put feet to your feelings. And when you put feet to your feelings, you're storing up treasure in heaven. 1 John, our love should not just be words and talk. It must be true love, which shows itself in action. Real love acts. It's not something you just feel, not something you just say. Faith is not something you just believe. It is action. James gets even more pointed. Suppose you see a brother or sister who needs food or clothing, and you say, God bless you, stay warm, eat well. And then he says, and you don't give that person any food or clothing, what good does that do? The answer is nothing. It's worthless. It's just empty emotion. Now, James is not dumb. He knows you don't say that out loud, because some of you are saying, well, I don't say that. It's not a matter. We don't do it. We don't change it. Jesus says, show your faith by what you do. It shows your heart. I had coffee with a friend Friday morning. He's my age. He's thinking about what he wants to do with the rest of his life. He hadn't retired yet, but he's thinking about it. And he said, but I'm not done. I'm not old enough to be done. I said, well, I agree. You're my age. We're not done. He said, but my priority's shifting. I said, what do you mean? He said, I have success. I'd look back and I'd say, I did okay. But he said, I want significance and I want satisfaction. And I need to know what to do to get that. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Significance and satisfaction does not come from selfishness. It comes from service. That's why Jesus said, if you're not willing to lose your life, if you're not willing to invest your life in other people, you will never know significance and satisfaction. Why? Because that's the way we're wired. Haven't you ever noticed how good it feels when you're in a situation and you find that you get to do something good for somebody and they really needed it, and you walk away thinking, oh, that's good. I'm so glad. Just puts a little bounce in your step, puts a smile on your face, because you're wired that way. We are wired to invest ourselves. You're not going to get significance and satisfaction from your salary, because except for one man in the world, everybody can find somebody that has more money than they do. And you're not going to get significance and satisfaction from your status, because except for one person in the world, somebody's going to be more famous and more known than you. You don't even get your satisfaction from your sex appeal. You'll always find somebody sexier than you, except for me. Yeah, you know. Significant satisfaction comes from service, helping other people. And nothing is going to prop up your little ego except giving. Giving yourself. Only those who throw away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it means to really live. And then there's the challenge. Okay? To care, I become aware. To dare, I make a difference. To dare, I make a difference. So my question, will you care about people who are not in your normal traffic pattern? care enough to become aware, and then will you dare to take a step? And I'm just talking about a baby step. I'm not asking you to change your whole life. I'm just saying, are you willing to take a little baby step? There's always an excuse. Well, I can't do that now. You know, I don't have it all together. How can I help somebody else? God can use you. I don't have $1 million. Doesn't matter. God can use you. I don't know all the answers. God can use you. I believe with all my heart, and I dare you to do something with your life, to get involved and give something back, because God can use you. Then the third thing, invest means I share what I have. Now, there's a scriptural progression to this. The Bible in Corinthians, when it talks about the offering, the Bible says they first gave themselves, and then they gave their treasure. First, you have to give yourself. You can't do what we're talking about in your own strength and power. You have to have a relationship, not religion, a relationship to God the Father. That's made possible through Jesus. He died for you. If you're willing to believe that he died on the cross for you, that he was raised on that very first Easter, and ask him into your life to give you direction and counsel and help you know how to live, that is a relationship with him. You give yourself. If you have not done that, it's the greatest decision that you will ever make. And then once you give yourself, you give your talents. You give your talents. What you're able to do. I had to have a tire fixed this week. I don't know how to fix a tire. I don't even want to know how to fix a tire. But when I saw that kid fix that tire, I looked at him and I said, I am so grateful that you know how to do that. He looked at me like I was nuts. I said, no, I'm grateful that you're here, that you know how to do it, because I can't do that. But you can. You're skilled at it. You know, something's broke. If you can't fix it with duct tape and a hammer, I'm in trouble. But this kid had skills. You give that. You give what God's gifted you, and then you give your treasure. Don't try to give your treasure. Some people just throw money at it. You know, if you got money and you're throwing it at the project and saying, here, God, here's some money. God doesn't need your money. God wants your heart. And he wants you to use the things that he's given you to bless the lives of others. Then your treasure. It's funny, isn't it, that our treasure is the most important thing to us and the least important thing to God. And the reason God keeps bringing it up is because our treasure is the one thing we put more priority on than anything else. So God says, give your heart, and then give your time and talent, and then give your schedule. Give your treasure last. 1 Timothy, tell people to use their money to do good. Timothy was a young preacher, and so these are principles for pastors. Tell people to use their money to do good. They should give happily to those in need and always be ready to share with others whatever God has given them. By doing this, they will be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven. It's the only safe investment for eternity. They will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. Not only are you putting up treasure in heaven, you're living a good life here. Proverbs 19. When you give to the poor, it's like lending to the Lord, and the Lord will pay you back. Do you believe that? It's in the Bible. It's God's promise. He says he will. And then there's this great promise. When you happen on someone who is in trouble or needs help, don't look the other way, pretending you don't see them. Don't keep a tight grip on your purse. Give freely, spontaneously. Don't have a stingy heart. The way you handle matters like this triggers God's blessing in everything you do, all your work and ventures. Caring, daring, sharing. Are you willing to follow his process? Because it's like God says, let's play a game. He says, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to see what you do with your blessings. And if you do the right thing with your blessings, I'm going to bless you some more. And when I bless you more, I'm going to see what you do. And if you give it to somebody else to bless them, I'm going to give you some more. There was a man by the name of Captain Levy, a believer in Philadelphia. He had lots of money, kept having more money. Somebody finally asked him one time, said, Captain Levy, how do you give all of this money away, but you keep getting more money? He said, well, God shovels it in, and I shovel it out. And God's got a bigger shovel. And it's true. Are you willing? to care, to dare, and share. You give your life, your heart, your time, your talent, your resources, your treasure, your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word because it blesses us and teaches us and shows us how to have life at its fullest here on this planet and get ready for life everlasting. So guide us as we commit ourselves to care by being aware, to dare to put those people on our radar, and to share the way you blessed us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.